Back to Sample. Harold and Tom met in a pub, and after a drink or two, they started to talk about their lives. Tom said, "I really envy you. As a sailor, you get the chance to travel around and see the world. You just put your sack over your shoulder and you're off in a second. And your salary is pretty good too, while I have to stay at the same place, do the same thing, and work my head off, never knowing when I'll get sacked." "For goodness sake," said the other, "I'd rather work as a salesman like you. You have no idea what you have to sacrifice to live on the sea, like not being with your family or not having fresh salads. The sacrifices we make are not enjoyments in life, and there's the boredom that only saints could stand. At least you don't need to worry about the weather, and in your life you are in the saddle. That's not the case with us, however. If you could sample my life for a day, you wouldn't say so. What about the saddles you sell? Can I have a free sample?" "But what are you going to do with it? Saddle the ship?" "Just for the sake of company," Harold replied.
Sanction to Scarce. As soon as Paul returned from a trip to outer space, he was interviewed. The satellite that was launched from the spaceship was functioning well. The scans it sent back were satisfactory. By using such a device to scan the atmosphere, they could improve the accuracy of weather forecasts on a large scale. Paul also told the reporter that at the moment all he wanted were scarce items in outer space, such as a good meal with homemade sausages and tomato sauce. He even made himself scarce to have a coffee, although a photographer found him and took a photo of him holding the saucer. It was confirmed that the government had sanctioned an increase in the fund for space research on a large scale. The sanction allowed approximately 10% of the savings of government revenues to be used in relevant research. It had been some time since people guessed that because of the financial scandal, the government might scale down the fund. However, the interview was interrupted by a protester who scaled the top of the building and sawed off the antenna with a saw.
Scarcely to Scout. One autumn afternoon, two boys finished their work on the farm ahead of schedule, and so they collected some chestnuts. But they had other tasks on their schedules, so they didn't enjoy the scenery and hurried home. Their final exams were scheduled for Friday the next week, and they both wanted to win the scholarship to be a proud scholar. They agreed to meet again at the graveyard after they finished their study and divide up the chestnuts. The boys both came to the graveyard on schedule and brought scissors that could also be used as a nutcracker. But they dropped the sack on the way, and the few chestnuts scattered around. There was scarcely any light, so they decided to scout for them later. As they were counting the nuts out, a girl happened to be walking nearby. She was very scared when she heard from behind a bush a voice repeat, "One for you, one for me." Of course, what the boys were doing was out of the scope of her imagination, but she thought they were scheming something really fearful. She rushed to the gate in a scare and bumped into two other girls. She told them the evil scheme she'd overheard. "There are ghosts in the graveyard, and they're sharing out the dead bodies." But the girls replied, "As a scout, you should be brave. There are no ghosts in the world." Scarcely had they finished their words when the voice came, "We mustn't forget those few at the gate."
Scrape to seal. Have you seen the movie Screened recently? If not, don't go. The script is not bad, but the actor screwed it up. His acting was scarcely up to scratch. He looked like a stupid seal when he tried to be funny on the screen. No one would find his face amusing, even if it had a few scratches on it the whole time. He scratched his head, scraped through a narrow opening, and did all sorts of foolish things, trying to scrape up some laughter from the audience. But they only laughed once, when he screwed a screw into his pants to replace a button. There were some obvious mistakes, too. In the movie, they said that Sydney Airport was sealed off because of a snowstorm, but it never snows there. And when the car scraped along the wall, there was no sound of the scrape. Someone should put the screws on those directors so they stop making these lousy movies. If they don't start again from scratch, I'd say no one will pay to go to the movies in future, and the theaters will have to be sealed up for good.
Secondary to senior. Kelly was a senior in college. She was selected to attend seminars on the research of semiconductors. A paper she wrote last semester, as one of the select few invited to enter the competition for the best student papers, won the first prize. Senator Smith made a speech at the ceremony and joked that he'd lose his job if the Senate was full of smart young people like the prize winners. However, a student from a secondary school claimed that Kelly had copied his paper, which was published online. He accused Kelly of copying big segments of his article and that she had only slightly altered the first section. This incident led to some discussions on the campus. An article in the student newspaper said that, in order to secure success and fame, Kelly had cheated not only her own sector in the community, but that her selfish behavior had been a bad example set by a senior student. The article also called students' attention to the security of their intellectual property, as the Internet was no longer a secure place, but a place where e-cheaters would go for selections.
Sensible to shed. It's difficult to be a father of teenage kids. They are sensitive and won't listen to sensible advice. My daughter, for example, protested when I told her that she's not allowed to date before 17, but after that, until she is 70, she can have as many boyfriends as she wishes. She argued with me, and now the settlement is that she can date when she's 16 and a half. TV series also worry me. They have too many violent and sexual scenes, sometimes for the whole night session. And the way young people dress themselves, oh, I don't know what to say. And when I was their age, everyone wore simple and severe clothes and hairdos. My daughter likes going to the swimming pool to hang around the shallows, but I don't like the setting, and besides, there are often a few shallow boys trying to talk to her. Yesterday, when I was having a shave in the bathroom, my wife came in to tell me that she saw our 10-year-old boy smoking a cigar in the shed. I almost cut myself as I shaved. While their mother could do nothing but shed tears. Will this sequence of events have to last until they all grow up?
Sheer to shrink. Eddie had been waiting for his girlfriend all night, but she didn't know he was coming. He thought she might be working late shift. Eddie worked on a farm and had to spend a long time traveling to the town where his girlfriend worked. As there was a shortage of hands on the farm, he hadn't been able to visit her for 2 weeks. Eddie loved her very much, despite her shortcomings. It was almost midnight, and the rain started to pour, but Eddie didn't have an umbrella with him. He was shivering because his clothes were sheer, and he looked around to see if there was a shelter nearby so he could shelter from the rain. But all he could find was a broken chair, so he used it as a shield by lifting it over his head to shield himself from the rain. After another 2 hours, he finally saw a taxi pull over. But she wasn't alone. She was with a man. Eddie felt a shiver, but his position didn't shift. Her eyes sheared away when she saw Eddie, and shortly afterwards, she shrank away because of his hurt look. Eddie felt as if he had fallen sheer off a cliff. He wished he could shell her beautiful shell to see what was in her soul.
Shrug to simplify. One day, a foreigner was doing some sightseeing. He walked sideways as he looked at paintings on a wall and bumped into a charming young woman. As a signal of apology, he smiled and invited her for dinner, and they had a good time together. He drew out a checkbook and wrote down his signature on a blank check and said, "I want to buy you a gift, but I have no idea what you'd like. So to simplify the process, take this and buy whatever you like." "I like this simplicity," the young woman said with a sigh. "But why did you sigh?" he said. "Because it's a day of significance in my life, and the most significant thing is that I've met you." and she gave him a sideways glance. The man knew what she was signaling. He cleared his throat and said, "I am feeling similarly to you. A single event happened to me today. My girlfriend rang and said she accepted my proposal and will get married soon. Her old man is an oiled man. Say, what does your father do?" At this, she shrugged her shoulders and left. With this shrug, she hoped to shrug off her disappointment.
Thin to skim. A single mother with a little girl moved into the neighborhood. Soon, people learned that the mother had married when she was only 16, and that her husband had died a few years later. But she was a young woman with a singular determination. She went to school while raising her daughter and became a skillful nurse. The little girl was lovely, except that she couldn't speak. Their next-door neighbor, a man about 60, became the little girl's best friend. He'd take her to swim in the summer and ski or skate in the winter. He even bought her nice pairs of skis and skates. He was a skilled artist, and sometimes, when the little girl was playing, he'd make a sketch of her. Soon, the little girl learned to sketch herself, and quite enjoyed it. One day, the painter asked the mother what was wrong with the little girl, and the mother sketched out what had happened. She said her husband, who was a miner, was killed in a terrible accident, and the little girl happened to be at the accident site. After that, she refused to speak. "It's not fair to punish her for the sins we sinned, is it?" she said with tears, and expressed her sincere gratitude for his help. The painter then decided to do something for the little girl. He found reports about that accident and skimmed through them. He planned to take the little girl back to the mine, which was sited in a valley, to help her come to terms with the loss of her father.
Slam, slim. Donna stopped her husband during an argument, but when he went to the door, she ran over to him, held his sleeve, and begged him not to go. He brushed her away and slammed the door behind. The slam woke up the baby, and it started to cry. So Donna took up the slight baby and fed it some milk. She happened to look at herself in the mirror and thought, if she became slender again, her husband would love her as before. So she tried to slim her figure by eating only one slice of bread each day. As a result, she felt unwell and let her housework slide. However, she wasn't getting any slimmer, and her husband slighted her for that. She could tell this by the slight in his voice when he talked to her, which made her feel like giving him another slap. The slide in stock prices also worried them. One day, she sliced the ham for sandwiches and sat down to watch the financial news, and found that stock price continued to slide. So she thought, why not eat all the ham?
Slip to soccer. A very important soccer game was at its turning point, when rain became heavy and started to slope, and the ground became very slippery. The earth soaked up most of the water, but some followed the slope of the field. Some players consequently slipped in the mud, and also slipped up when trying to pass the ball. Their strips were soaked, but they didn't seem to notice. The fans' spirits soared as a player of the home team gave the defenders the slip and scored. The commentator was so excited that he made a slip of the tongue about who had scored. The so-called never-fail away team was eager to snap out of a possible defeat and made continual attacks. But they made a mistake, and the home team snapped up the chance to make an attack. The coach of the away team made a snap decision to change players, but it was too late. He was so mad that he snapped at his players and smashed his fist against the bar, because the result of the game was a smash to their hopes to stay undefeated. On the front page of the paper the next day, there was a snap of this unlucky man, who let slip when interviewed that he might get fired.
Social to soar. Did you know that dogs are social butterflies? They like to be with people. However, keeping them company isn't our sole occupation. We need to go to work or school. Compared to our lives, our dogs' lives are somewhat boring. That's why they bark, which makes our neighbors soar, or gnaw the armrest of the sofa, which somehow annoys the wives in particular. The boredom of our pet seems to be difficult to solve. But the good news is that now you don't need to read sophisticated psychology because there are simple solutions to the problems. Things like new toys, a break in routines, and the company of other pets can make a difference to your dog. There is also software that will guide you on how to communicate with your pets. You might have noticed sometime in the past, certain TV programs have interested your dog more. So it's not a bad idea to let them watch a bit of TV. Alice, my dog's sometime vet, when he was sick or had a sore, said that her research showed that outdoor activities could also help pets cope with having nothing to do. So next time when you see your dog playing with an old shoe sole in the sun, don't put on a solemn face and hurry inside. Instead, cook yourself something on a solar stove, have a soda, and enjoy the time with your dog.
Sorrow to Speaker. Two spacemen got lost in outer space because their earthly sense of direction didn't work there. They were not sure whether they should go southeast or southwest. One thought southeast was the right direction, while the other insisted on southwest. They were soured by this experience, and their argument became bitter, as both started to use sour remarks. "I followed your idea and took a southwest course, and look what happened," one said. "Oh, what do you expect, Mr. Expert? There is a southeast wind, and I can feel it. Your source of information is not from the experience of sowing in the field, I suppose." Just then, something sparked ahead, and they flew towards the spark, thinking it might be a space station. But all of a sudden, the spacecraft lost control and fell like a dropped spade. Their sorrow made them forget their argument. They then missed an object by a handspan, and finally regained control as their eyes scanned the distance covered and found that they were back in orbit. And they can now also hear directions from the base through the speaker.
Specialist to Spin. As a specialist who specializes in the research of endangered species, Professor Moore announced that in the near future, specific types of insects could be cloned. He didn't specify what kinds of insects, but people speculated that he was talking about certain spiders. This was a spectacular achievement in the sphere of biology, and other scientists were eager to hear the specifics, the technical details specifically. But they had to wait for a long time, because this spectacular wouldn't be published until the scientists could produce a specimen. However, the process was spun out by an accident. One day, the scientist felt his head spin, and went into a spin when he tried to stand up. This spilled ink onto an original copy of a key document. The spill made it impossible to read the spelling, and the scientist was so angry that he almost had a heart attack.
Spiritual to Spot. Sports play an important role in modern life, and sportsmen who enjoy fame and wealth also become the envy of many people. However, there are sometimes spots on their reputation. Some are spotted by having used drugs, and others are criticized for improper behavior, like spitting on the ground. And in some cases, the spit even ends up on the judge, out of spite. One might argue that athletes are spoiled by sports sponsors, and that in spite of their weakness, they are still presented as heroes on commercials. But in fact, businesses sponsor sports with the intention of making money, not to satisfy people's spiritual needs. And as long as it can bring publicity for their product or organization, they don't care what their models do. The spokesman won't even try to deny anything, unless it's that these athletes want to split up with them. Besides, under tension of severe competition, some athletes' personalities might split, and the split in their personalities might cause the problems in their behavior. And what about those reporters on the spot who encourage athletes to spit out those things without thinking? Should they also be blamed?
Spray to Stain. The organization bought a dinner for its staff in a restaurant as part of the effort to spur an atmosphere of teamwork. But towards the end of the meal, somebody found a cockroach in his food. This served as the right spur for everyone to stop eating. I believe that the ladies even squeezed their arms in case they'd scream on the spur of the moment. The men seem to be more stable and keep chatting cheerfully about things like staffing the new section. I looked around and noticed stains on the wall. The waitresses' uniforms were stained, too. Tablecloths were stacked on the next table, and on top of this stack, a couple of flies were idling around. Somehow, this reminded me of a stable. When the dinner was finally over, the boss shook hands with each person, using a strong squeeze. On my way home, I went into the store next to the stadium to buy some cockroach spray, because I planned to spray every corner of my place the minute I got home.
Steak too steep. There is nothing worse than a stale steak, especially if you are cruising on a steamer. My standpoint is that no matter what the circumstances are, food is the most important thing. It's a sin to starve yourself, and I'll always make that statement. Forget about those statistics like 60% of our population lives on fast food and becomes fat. They have no real status. There is no point trying to keep your figure as slim as a statue by sacrificing tasty food and other enjoyments. Steady your nerves when you see a steady growth in your weight, because it's not the end of the world. But if there is a steep drop in your weight, then that's when you should start to worry, because your life might be at stake. So don't stake your life on dieting. I can't see why a lot of people like to steep their shirts with sweat by doing exercises. Like a stake in the ground, I just don't like to move around. I'm happy with my static life, and don't even like to move over to tune the radio, when all I can hear is static.
Steer to stock. It's very difficult to steer a boat in the winter. The chilly wind makes one's fingers stiff, and one needs to steer clear of floating bits of ice. However, if the river is frozen stiff, you won't have much to do. Summer is no better. With the weather sticky and the sun baking hot, there's always too much water in the river, and it's hard to stem the rushing tide with a small boat. There are also insects that sting, and if you stir those bees, you'll stir up a war that you won't lose, but you'll definitely suffer from stings. So don't touch the stems of flowers, which will possibly stir up the working bees. One reason that stimulates us to work on the river is that this is the only way to transport rags, a stock for making paper. As they are stock material, we've got to stock them up to make sure we have plenty in stock. If they are out of stock, then we need to take stock of our situation and take necessary measures.
Stocking to stress. It's not an easy job to be a criminal. One has to strain one's nerves and be constantly under stress. Also, one needs to study what strategies to use and make the right decisions at strategic moments. Clever ideas won't stream in like a stream of ready-made plans, and one might collapse under such strain. Take bank robbing, for example. It isn't as simple as it seems in the movies. You pull a stocking over your head, rush into a bank, and then just stoop to pick up the money. It takes a lot of planning and thinking. You need to work out where to find the cash in storage and make sure everything is under control when you pick up the money with a stoop. That's the crucial moment. If things go well by then, your success will be strengthened. Then you strap the bag to yourself, preferably with a durable strap, and move slowly backwards. Old hands will stress that it's the last straw that breaks the camel's back. So remember, no one wants to spend a life in a cell that is as hot as a stove.
Stretch to stuff. Woody worked as a newsreader at a commercial TV station. He liked to play jokes and string his colleagues along. One day, he was late. And when he finally appeared at the studio, which was on the top floor of a large structure, the director almost had a stroke. Woody was wearing a shirt with bright stripes, and his purple hair was very striking, too. Everyone was asked to offer some stuff to dress Woody up at the last minute. Just before the news started, the makeup girl stringed out half a dozen shirts in the dressing room and then stripped Woody of his shirt. but none of the shirts fitted him. They were either too large or too small. Finally, the makeup girl fitted Woody into a large shirt by stuffing tissues inside it, and stringed the bottom with a strip of clothing. The director stroked Woody's hair flat and forced him to wear a hat, but during an important stretch of the news, Woody was arranging his shirt at a stretch, because when he stretched his arm, he broke the string. The tissue started falling out. The director concluded that if he was to continue with Woody, he would have to structure the news differently in the future.
Style to suck. Bernard is an artist, but his style is a little different from those of most other artists. He paints on the subway wall, and only works at night. The substance of his paintings expresses itself in different moods. Sometimes he works a succession of nights on one piece, but last night he completed 3 successive paintings. Bernard thinks that his works help to improve the look of cities and suburbs, as they substitute blank concrete cityscape with color, interest, and variety. They also provide a bridge between imagination and the substantial world. His talent is submerged by the form of art that he insists upon, because people think his paintings are just substitutes for art. Bernard submits himself to criticism and never argues back. But to him, it is art. He only cares when he is doing them and has no interest in any subsequent results. Bernard said that even though a painting might decay or get damaged, that wouldn't subtract from its value. He sucked deeply on a cigarette and admitted that he only wanted to style his work for its own sake, not for any other rewards, particularly from anyone who might try to suck up to him with praise.
Sufficient to superficial. Murphy felt that he had the worst luck. He lost his job, his wife left him, he was in debt, and the sum was so big that no matter how hard he worked, he thought he'd never earn sufficient money to sum to that figure. He summarized his problems and sent the summary to his accountant, but even the accountant couldn't think of any useful suggestions. In summary, Murphy thought there was only one way to get rid of all his troubles. He planned to commit suicide. He picked a day with superb weather and climbed to the summit of a cliff to jump off the edge. The sunshine was warm, and Murphy thought that since he had missed the sunrise, he should at least wait to see the sunset. The scenery was fantastic, and Murphy really enjoyed it. So when sunlight faded away, Murphy was still hesitating. His mood could be summed up by the word confusion. In sum, he started to feel that things might not be as bad as the superficial signs suggested, and made a summary decision to find a new job.
Superior to suspicion. The Supreme Court was hearing a case in which a customer accused a supermarket of violating her rights by conducting a body search because she was suspected of shoplifting. That day, the shop had a sale of surplus commodities and was very crowded. The woman said she was suddenly surrounded by 2 security guards and the manager and was forced to open her bag for a check. She refused at first, but then had to surrender, considering the number of staff in the surroundings at that time, because they were far superior in number. After her surrender, they kept her as a suspect in an office, and during the process, she was pushed and pulled around. Although she was proven to be innocent, her supervisor thought she was a suspect person and she lost her job. She said she almost couldn't survive the shame and suspicion afterwards. The court surveyed the witnesses and recorded the result of this survey. The woman originally asked for $1 million from the accused, but now she wanted a supplement of $20,000. She said it was because she needed surgery for a face change to help her survival. She also said she would donate any surplus to charities. However, the court suspended the decision for the time being.